Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. I'm your host, Melissa. Welcome to the play space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours. You have children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to another episode of Raising Playful Tots. Glad you could stop by today. If you're new to the show, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room in the new digging pit over here. Last week's show, I talked about mark making and writing. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show, I have an interview with Pon Sabra, where we continue our conversation about celebrating diversity. I hope you'll stick around. If you enjoyed the show, please consider pinning on Pinterest or sharing with your friends. Thanks. I'll be right back after this short break.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark and the Big Dipper led us all the way home. Whoa!
Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Brings us really nicely onto your experiences with other mums that you meet, you know, the ones that you meet in the playground, you know, the people that are around. You know, what types of experiences have you had of non-Muslim mums?
Well, like I said, we're always the only Muslims. So we're predominantly around non-Muslims. We were apart when my daughter was, she was how old? She was four because she was her preschool year. And we had a homeschool gym class. There's 350 kids in this huge community center. It's awesome, every Friday. And that was the first Friday in Ramadan, again, the month of fast. We believe during that month of fast that if you do any good deed, it will be multiplied. And it just so happened that that was the day that I was choosing to cover. So my girls knew me without a hijab. And it was really interesting because on Friday for us is our day of prayer. So we go to congregational prayer. And so my husband was, I remember it perfectly. We were going to the door and it was really interesting and my girls had all their sports bags and everything carrying along with it. And we're opening the door. My husband was going to prayer and I was going to take him to class. And I remember looking at him and his eyes, I don't know if it was, okay, we're going to do this. This is going to be great. And I looked at him and I was, believe me, much more at peace and calm. And I looked at him and I was just like, make dua. Dua means, make supplication, make prayer when you go for us. Allah will bless us. God will bless us. It'll be fine. So I go, but if you want, you know, when you come pick us up, because typically he'll pick us up outside. He's like, no, I'm going to come inside and pick you guys up today. We're like, and the girls were excited. They're like, okay, fine. And they're like, why? And the funny thing is my girls are like, why would Baba do that? Not even thinking it's something different, but it was the day that I actually covered. When I walked in to this auditorium and I have, of course, my series of friends, and we're always on the bleachers. And I was walking in. Oh, my gosh. It was the most amazing thing. I mean, literally every single parent of these. No, not 350. I think there was 350 because it was the parents that counted us because there was 150 kids. So say 200 parents. I met in that four-hour gym class hundreds of non-Muslim homeschoolers that I, you know, we know each other just in passing. And they actually came to congratulate me. And it was interesting because the husband, my dear friend, her husband's just like, he's asking from a distance, what's the polite way? Could he say congratulations and you look beautiful? I was like, well. I was like, oh, that's an interesting voice. I was like, no, congratulations. Thank you very much. It was just the most amazing situation because people all knew it was the month of fast. Or they said, isn't it Ramadan? Like, why did you choose this today? And an incredible day, and because the two little ones were only three and, like one and a half, they weren't in class. My girls were so proud to be a part of an experience that was very personal and spiritual for us, but it was a great opportunity to, again, make that dawah in a very non-intrusive way. It was, it was great. And I think homeschoolers in general were just, all the homeschoolers I have been exposed to and my girls are just extremely confident and in their own selves and in their own faith, and they're extremely open-minded. And I don't think that they would homeschool if they didn't think that they want to gain the best experience educational-wise. All the people that I met that I didn't personally meet before felt it was for them to gain something new, a different perspective. And for that, I will always remember that day. It was a great thing, and my girls were more proud instead of fearful. But yeah, so I think it's also, and my girls also realize I'm American born. I think you could tell by the stories I'm saying, I'm a very playful mom. So in and of myself, I'm a very personable person and very approachable, because I could literally say, I do not remember many days I go out in public and people don't say, oh, you're a Muslim? I was like, oh, yes, I happen to be. I'm like, how do you guess? And many people, because I am actually of Asian descent, I'm Filipino and Thai, so many times, at least once a month, they'd be like, you know, I had no idea Asians were Muslim. I'd be like, well, actually, we make up, 60, 70, some research says 75% of all the Muslims in the world. So the face of a real Muslim is not the real. The majority of Muslims are actually Asian. I'm like, wow. Yeah. We feel very honored and very blessed with these experiences.
Excellent. Today I'm talking to Pawn Sabra, homeschooling mom of three. She's also a best-selling author and a home-based entrepreneur of 14 years. You can find Pawn on YouTube, and her YouTube channel is American Muslim Mom, as well as on Twitter and Facebook. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the items that you can have inside your home for children to play with. A couple of episodes ago, we talked about pretend play, and we talked about some of the toys that you can get. Also, we talked about cultural diversity and all the different types of artifacts and objects that you can have inside your home that will encourage cultural diversity. I was looking at your website and I saw something really interesting. I saw some baby dolls and they were wearing a hijab. Now, I would never have thought of that. I mean, from the perspective of a mom of three boys, we didn't have lots and lots of dolls in the house. We had a few dolls that were anatomically correct for the boys, but to think that you can actually get a special doll that would have a hijab on, that's just so great. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Actually, those dolls that you see here, here's a really interesting story. It was from MuslimToysAndDolls.com. It was founded and owned by a woman named Debbie El Harbi. And interestingly, she was just looking for, she's married to a Bedouin Saudi Muslim husband for 30 years and has three kids. But she's actually Jewish, and she was teaching her kids about Islam through kids' books in Islam, and she was researching, and she found no other soft Muslim dolls with hijab. So she actually created this particular doll. It's soft, it's lovable, it's incredible. Now, you could find things, there's called Roseanne dolls, which is actually like a Barbie doll with a hijab here in America. And we got it, and it was funny. Our friends were saying, Pawn, beware. It's more, they're not in the best quality. Then we went overseas. There were some dolls. They weren't the best quality. But Debbie actually wanted a soft doll with hijab, and she actually calls it large, soft Muslim doll. And she has in two, three different outfits, two different sizes. So there's about more than a half a dozen different versions of this. So she asked me to review it for her site. And when we got it, it is the most adorable little thing. It has this little button nose, like a yellowish skin. And the first thing my girl said was, Mama, it looks like you. And I was like, well, but it's wearing pink and purple, so I think it looks like you. No, Mama, it looks like you. I was like, okay. You know, I was like, well, she's really cute, so I'll take it as a compliment. And I actually had her on my podcast show, and it was funny because she was talking about, she actually, on her whole website, 350 different books, artifacts, toys, games, she has personally bought, reviewed, and now is a stockist. And it's interesting that she has things, I've traveled all around the world except the far, far east. She has things, 40% of her sales actually goes to overseas because there are things that are manufactured in the West, in the UK, that aren't readily available either. So God bless her. It's incredible. So it's funny. So I was telling her the story. She actually manufactured this doll herself. She designed it. And on her logo, you'll see an Indonesian mother in hijab with her daughter. And she felt very impassioned by, if I'm going to have Muslim toys and dolls, it should be the majority of the Muslims in the world that most people don't know. So I asked her, I was like, oh, was this doll, you know, supposed to be of like Asian descent? She's like, of course. I was like, oh, well, just to let you know, my girls call her Little Pawn. She sits by my computer all day long. And because when I have glasses, I actually put glasses on her when I'm not wearing them. So don't. I'm telling her about this story. She thought it was classic. She made a joke. She's like, well, that's it. She doesn't have a name. A week later, I get an email, and she's like, you know, I was thinking, and that's it. So she changed. So her whole website, it's actually called Little Pawn, the Muslim doll.
Yes, I see that.
See,
oh, my goodness.
It's funny. And so I said, well, you know what? It's really funny. So when I told my husband this, and you could see this, like, smirk kind of holding back, you know, wait. Do I say yes to her? My girls and I were really excited to tell my husband. So I said, okay, well, you know, maybe you should put in there, you know, pawn means in Thai, means God's gift, which is is heba in Arabic. And it's a very, you know, this is something that we revere in Islam, heba being God's gift. I was like, and that way you're teaching them more about, you know, some Asian descent too. And it was just so classic. So funny, to be honest with you. And she told us that she's making an African doll. And it was really funny. So she's been emailing me. She's like, now it's just been killing me. Little who? Like, you know, little this, little that. Which one moves more? I was like, well, then you actually have to find the little, you know, person who it is that has the personality to go with that particular doll. Because this is classically, in our family, Little Pawn. And I'm so honored to be a doll.
Oh, wow, that's such a good story.
So in terms of having unique toys and dolls, and I have to say it's so funny because we have three girls, but you would be amazed. We are very active. There's one, Eli Whitney. He's an inventor, and his museum is here in Connecticut. And he's like, they tell us week after week, they're like, we have not interest. You know, girls the way we've interest your girls. I was like, what are you talking about? They can make remote control cars with their own hands. I was like, what about this has to be a girl thing? They're like, but they're building ships and they're building, you know, things that are robots that are typically boy things. I go, you know what? In our house, that's not a boy or girl thing. That is science, invention, and that's amazing.
Yes.
Like, so leave it there. I go, yes, we have a lot of dolls, but we also have a lot of boy things. And I go, and my girls proudly, you know, tell people, no, we play with everything. And that's my husband's influence too. He's an engineer, and I think that he loves the fact that my girls are little dudettes. I don't know, I just made that up. I have no idea, but they're dudes and they're, you know, chicks too.
Cool. I like that, Dudettes. That's really cool. So, you know, we can tell that listening to all these fabulous stories that you're raising some really playful children. Let's finish the show with you telling us maybe one more tip for how you would consider raising a playful tot.
One last tip. Well, let me just demystify what socialization is. Because this is the number one thing everyone asks me as a homeschooler. Socialization, you know, is the ability to take part in, establish, and interact with others. It doesn't say, you know, who those others are. And if you create playfulness in a loving environment where they confidently know and trust and respect that their parents will be there and the elders will be there, and that loving a newborn child has much compassion and passion for the beauty of life, then in that playfulness, you really create a worldly, highly socialized child and then young adult, because it takes absolute beauty in a person to be able to amaze and appreciate, like, my grandmother. So their great grandmother Lola is still alive. They love going to bingo day and lunchtime dates with their Lola at the nursing home, because they know she's their eldest in their life and they want to do that. But then their baby cousin, you know, who's now, she's about 8 months old, they just spent the weekend with, and they realized that, wow, this new life, this is energy, this is play. That's integral to the whole socialization, and I think that playfulness feeds that good, solid socialization. And when you become an adult, the workforce is, you're not, you know, around just peers your own age and or gender. So if you use playfulness in a way that's integral to, like you said, cultural diversity, being able to interact with many people at many different economic levels, many different, you know, race and ethnic groups and or religions, it's beauty in its making.
Wow, that's a perfect way to end. Today I've been talking to Pawn Sabra about raising playful tots as an American Muslim mother. Pawn is a radio host, and you can hear her shows by subscribing to the American Muslim Mom blog on iTunes. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun.
I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Courtney, Emily, and Esther from BabyChinoKids.com, a shopping portal for children's products and an international lifestyle blog. And you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Welcome back to the show. There's quite a few things I wanted to talk to you about today. I'm still smiling from Pon's story about the Muslim doll being named after her. Wow, that is just an amazing story. I'll leave the link for that in the show notes so that you can see the doll and the link to the site where the doll comes from. We have a black doll at home that we love, and my favorite doll at home I've talked about before was a black doll as well, and that came from very far away. At that time, it was much harder to get dolls that looked like you, so it was something that I really, really treasured. At my son's nursery currently, I do see multicultural dolls. Slip of the tongue there. Multicultural dolls. And that can only be a good thing. I've not seen a Muslim doll, though, and that might make a good present one day in the future. It's a type of doll, a Muslim doll, that I would hope to find in a toy library or a local toy shop. I guess it depends on where you live to what you see. And it's really tricky to find a variety of different things, because let's face it, most of us just want to go into our local toy shop or the toy shop online and just pick a thing, buy it and be done, because getting toys can be so stressful. But I would really encourage you, if you have a chance to look around and find some different types of toys, go diverse, change, just instead of choosing another toy that's very similar, try something a little different within the same type. So for dolls, that's really easy. You can go for a doll from a different country. You could do that with cars and trucks and all sorts of things. You can just try and find something that's a little different. Something that I wanted to do that a lot with is cars. I have a car-obsessed boy here at the moment who loves metal cars. Brilliant. But what I really was thinking about this week is that I should get some felt cars or some felt-type equipment for him to have a look at, to get him used to touching and moving things in a little different way. And especially with cars, I think it could be kind of quite neat to see a felt car. I don't know. We'll have to see if there are any felt cars about. If you see any, give me a buzz and let me see. Don't forget to pop on over to the American Muslim Mum and see what Pon is up to find out more about what she's doing and listen to more of her fantastic stories on her podcast over there too. At the beginning of the year, I sent out a questionnaire. Wow, January just seems just round the corner and we're already into May. Time is really flying. And many of the shows that I've been doing since then have been impacted by that survey. In that survey, you got a chance to write down some of the things that were really concerning you, things that you were really struggling with, things that you wanted some help with. And I was able to use the information that was in those shows to find some other people to come on who have some really, really, really good advice, ideas, inspiration, been there before us and could share that information with us. So it's really important that if you have an idea that you want some more help with, that you fill in these surveys and let's see what we can do. We can help each other. I've really enjoyed the shows that have been coming along. I'm trying to raise a playful top just the same as you are. So it's really inspirational to hear people talking about the same things, the same struggles that I go through as well. Here's a brief recap on what you've been saying, because I know some of you have asked what the results of the survey was and you were curious. Most of you are regular listeners who've listened to more than 6 shows. I only put 6 shows in there, so it was difficult to know if you've been listening for a lot longer than that. We've been going since 2009, so this is our 96th show, so many of you have listened for a lot longer than 6 shows, but that was the highest number I went up to. That makes me smile a lot to know that you are all there and you regularly come back and listen. I'm guessing that you are the same people that are writing the reviews on iTunes, and I thank you so much for doing that. You're looking for inspiration the most, ideas about play activities that you can do for your young ones. And quite a few of you also are looking for research ideas as well and things that are in the media, so things that are brought to your attention. I have a new survey that I'm starting very soon, and I'll send an email out with those questionnaires in there. So if you'd like to participate in there, you need to be part of the newsletter. And then I will put the survey link on the website later on as well for you to answer any questions if you would like to as well. It's a lot of fun to hear the things that you want to learn more about, to share the problems that you have, and for us all to learn collectively from the things that you need. So, what's going on in the play community that you should be involved in? So this is something that I know lots of you have wanted to know, something that you can get involved in with your children that's weekly, that you can do over and over again, something to inspire you. Well, Marianne from Mama Smiles has Small Hands Creating Hope. This project is starting in the middle of May 2012. May marks 30 years since she was diagnosed with cancer, and she wanted to do something special to mark the occasion, and she's teamed up with a fantastic group of bloggers to put together a book filled with ideas for projects children can make to bring hope to cancer patients. That's just amazing to think of that. Many of these bloggers share incredible stories that inspired their projects while raising money for the American Cancer Society. And that starts on the 14th of May. And I've looked at the list of bloggers and there are some really, I'm just amazed at how many people have given up their time to share projects and ideas. It's going to be good. It's going to be epic. Lots of different ideas, projects our children can get involved and we can be doing them. It starts on the 14th of May and it's at the blog mamasmiles.com. And I'll leave a link for that in the show notes. Small Hands Creating Hope. I really hope that you can join in with this. Keris from Rainy Day Mum, who was on the show recently, has a group post each Tuesday called Tuesday Tots, where you can add your toddler activities that are linked up each week. It's fun and easy and just right for the toddlers to do. On this week's Linky, right now, there are over 50 activities to inspire you. You know, what I love about reading through Linkies like this that's specific for a specific topic is that you can be inspired by everybody's everyday play activities that they're doing. And yeah, you'll come across ones that you think, oh, I've done that or I can do that. But are you doing them? did you do that? And then you realize, I know, I could just get on and actually do it. And then you see something that you haven't done and you think, oh my goodness, I actually have all of those things at home right now and I can do it, or I can adapt one little thing and I can do it. So I'd really encourage you to go over to that rainydaymum.co.uk and look up Tuesday Tots. I'll leave a link for that in the show notes as well. Every Tuesday, there's a new linky, completely new set of activities that people have been doing during the week. You can look at those, obviously, anytime. So she's going to have Tuesday posts going back for weeks and weeks and weeks that you'll be able to have a look at and be inspired as well. I wrote a post this week about my beeping smartphone. I now only check email twice a day, at lunchtime in the evening, like I used to do a few years ago. And it's been a much, much better week for me. I've been more productive and feel so much better for it. It wasn't a gradual idea, but I've had three major influences, and I share that over on the post. I've written about it at play-activities.com, which is my blog, and I've shared why that's been important to me and our family, how it's changed the way we play and changed us. I'm sharing this with you today because we all have struggles, and this was mine, or this is mine, and we have to find a way of working around our situations so that we can raise the most playful tots that we can, as well as have brilliant families to go along with it. I've also made a few videos this week, been a little busy. And I've talked about small world play experiences. Oh, I was totally inspired by Imagination Tree and Anna over there and her small world play that she did with a huge, huge cardboard box. Must have been a fridge or something that had come in there, and her child was plonked right in the middle with all of this cardboard space and activities. And that was one of those times where I was cleaning up and I saw a box and I thought, oh my goodness, we can use this with that, with this, with that. And boom, we had a play activity going that we have been playing all week. So I've got two videos up there. One video is of my little guy actually playing with the small world play experiences and hearing what he's doing and how it came about. And the first video I did, I talk a little bit about how I set up the small world play experience, and you get to see me. For those of you that have wanted to see me, you've heard me for a little while now, but you get to see me doing that there. I'd love for you to nip on over, give a comment, or tell me what you think. I'm just starting doing videos, and sometimes it can be a bit tricky to know if you're doing the right thing. So I'd love to hear your comments about that. At the very beginning, I said plenty of room in the new digging pit, and that refers to a fantastic post I found at aneverydaystory.wordpress.com called Outside Play Digging Pit. There she talks about mulch, dirt, construction toys, and then add children with a bucket of water. Well, not the buckets of water on the children, but the children with a bucket of water. And you can imagine there's a lot of brilliant engineering fun going on there. The pictures are fantastic. And considering April was the wettest April that we've had in the UK since, I don't know, records began, it feels like, this would have been a brilliant activity for us to do then with all of the rain. And even without the rain, kids just love to muck about in the dirt. And why not make a purpose-built area for that? So I'll leave a note in the show notes so that you can go over to there and everydaystory.wordpress.com to see how she made a new digging pit. So I hope I've filled you up with lots of inspiration, given you lots of ideas about what to do, and I hope you're able to take charge of those activities and make them fly. Try some ideas with your family this week. Share them with other people. Talk about play activities. Thanks for stopping by today to listen to the show. Would love to hear from you. What are you up to with play this week? What have you done? chat to us on Facebook at Raising Playful Tots. Nip on over to raisingplayfultots.com/96 for the show notes, for links and information about the show. While you're there, you can leave a voice message. On the right-hand side, you can click a button straight from the website, absolutely free. You can talk to us on the show, tell me what you think, leave a comment, tell me a fantastic blog post that you've found, or share with me a picture. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave a review or comment on iTunes. That would be much appreciated. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 96. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Don't forget that it's Screen-Free Week. Goodbye.